Hey, everybody. Part two of my conversation with Bishop Aubrey Shines. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com and become a member at members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. And as always, get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. And so the one of the legislative legacies of MLK is the Civil Rights Act. And one of the things that we talked about in our show that I think I want to talk about, which is how the Civil Rights Act has been expanded way beyond its scope in modern America to include the transgender, the homosexual, and how do you think that, in your opinion, actually damages the legacy of King?
Oh, it damages it big time because, again, there were homosexuals that were during the time of King that wanted to participate in the movement, and King would not allow it. A lot of people don't know the history of that.
Yeah, talk more about that.
Oh, absolutely. There are great writers and authors like James Baldwin. A lot of people adhere to James. And Baldwin, I have to admit, was a phenomenal writer, a phenomenal thinker. But he was a practicing homosexual. There were others. King chose, no, we can't do this publicly. We believe in the rights of all people, but we're not pushing sexuality here. He dealt with issues of that magnitude. Now, these are issues that a lot of media won't pick up. You got to know the material, got to know the books, got to be able to read it, got to be able to talk about it with the individuals that were there. So when I see the hijacking of the civil rights movement from the LGBTQ, I'm a numbers boy. I deal with nothing but numbers all the time. I come out of a family, very successful business. Let's look at the numbers. I challenge your audience, and especially the LGBT audience that monitors you and I all the time, looking for a crack to bring us down. Let's look at the numbers. Tell me, Charlie, and this is me being a bit facetious.
Sure.
What water fountains were homosexuals not allowed to drink in? Tell me about the schools, Charlie, that they said no homosexuals
they
allowed.
They say I can't get a cake.
Oh, my. Wow. Then no one's still stopping you from owning the store of your own to
That's
buy
right.
your own cake.
And as if there weren't other competitors.
Well, of course.
Just, yeah.
I worked on that case, by the way.
Did you really?
Yeah, absolutely. Jack and his cause, and we did videos. So when I hear, quote, the gay community is the new civil rights or the new black, every black American should be horrified that, watch this, someone who is born with a certain melanin in their skin is the same as a individual that chooses a lifestyle. You're not born homosexual. Now, I'll get flack on that. But to date, there is no scientific evidence that you have a gene in your body that makes you, quote, attracted to other people. What we do have is behavioral science statistics that say there's a large portion. I remember the doctor that Ben Carson, he said this once and the media went apoplectic when he says, well, what do we do with men that been incarcerated, went in heterosexual, and they're molested so many times it breaks their will and they find themselves practicing this. Charlie, I'll go further. I've married men and women that have once practiced the lifestyle that have come out and says, wait a minute, I've had this epiphany with Christ. Christ is not interested in my lifestyle here. They broke that in Christ. I married them. They're still married, producing children. So if they're born that way, how did they become unborn to be? You see the complexity here.
So this is what was really helpful to me when I asked you a pointed question. I said a hypothetical. If MLK was alive today, would he be on board with the media and the activist groups saying that the LGBT is the new civil rights movement?
I could only answer that predicated on what he already did. You want to know what a person—
Based on what we know.
Based on what we know.
The answer is probably no.
Well, again, see, here's the conundrum. Someone said, well, it was a different time. Pardon me. Was it? Because here's this star of a champion, Martin Luther King, who gave his life. I mean, you talk about a martyr. He was martyred for what he believed in. Why would all of a sudden he say, well, I'm not going to take up this cause because I'm afraid? Come on. He wasn't afraid to give his life for what he believed. So we already have a body of evidence of what he's already done. And I think it's unfair for any group to come along now and say, well, would he have done this here? Well, we can go by what he did.
Yeah, so maybe more fairly, is it even accurate, or should we tolerate, and I know the answer we're going to say, that the righteous civil rights movement to end racial segregation in the 50s and 60s shouldn't even be in the same conversation as this nonsense?
It can't be.
And I think it's insulting.
It is an insult. Okay. But it shouldn't just be an insult to black people. There were whites. The movement of MLK was not a, quote, black movement. Only one that thinks it is some revisionist that can't, I don't know, maybe they can't see physically and they can't determine. There were whites that marched with King. I know of a man, he's deceased now, that marched with King. He's as white could have ever been. Lived in the South, lived in Georgia. There were whites that marched with King. So to some kind of way clump together the LGBTQ movement and say, well, we're part of that civil rights. Under what mindset? Again, here's the insult. Black people are born black, no different than brown people are born brown. But we have no scientific evidence that people are born with a sexual preference. That's a choice that people made. Now, you may not like that I say it, but prove me wrong. I'll wait and I'll keep waiting. There are no, show me the science behind that a person is born with a gene. Because if you're born with a certain gene, you can't change it no more than a white guy can change his or her skin. I don't care if you bleach it or tan it to death. At your core, take the blood test. You'll see exactly who you are. So when we're talking about individuals that have something in their mind, Charlie, what happens 200 years from now if a forensic scientist, I don't know, was to exhume a body of an individual? How would they be able to determine what was in their mind? They can tell you by the DNA of the bone, this was a male. This was a male from this region or that region. But one thing is for sure, there would be no 200 genders exhumed. Impossible. That's impossible. So when we talk about life choices, I could choose to be a murderer.
Or a pedophile.
Or an arsonist. How far we want to go here. So to clump together what people choose to do is very different than what you're born as. King, myself, you, others, we're born with or without a element of melanin for genetic reasons. Have nothing to do with, well, I choose today, as Rachel did, I'm going to be black. Well, come
Rachel
on.
Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah. I mean, really? Okay, well, you can tan it, darling, but it doesn't make you black. But that's why the conversation is crazy. This is not about what King did in the civil rights with blacks and whites working together. It was simply to say the laws that are on the book, let's live them out. Had nothing to do with sexual preference. You talk about a group of people that were discriminated against. They could not work certain places, couldn't go to school in certain places, couldn't even buy a house, for God's sake, in certain places. And we know this. We know the history where we saw even guys like Frank Sinatra helping out people like Nat King Cole and Sammy Davis Jr. to say, hey, if you don't allow my friend who happened to be black to in here to buy, then I'm not going to use you either. So again, we should not allow one segment, one population of a group, and a very small population, by the way, to begin to take us away from the original idea of what the civil rights group was really all about. It had nothing to do with sexuality. It had everything to do with making laws equal as related to black and white issues, period.
And so, and I thank you for saying that. And that's very persuasive to me. So another thought that I want to address here is right before we did the MLK episode, I listened to an NPR podcast, National Public Radio, and there was two black hosts and they were mad, not mad at me. They were mad that MLK's legacy has been whitewashed.
What did they mean? I'm curious.
And I'm going to paraphrase their argument.
Sure.
And this actually inspired me to speak out. And I could send it to you.
Sure.
And I just want to kind of give people an understanding of where I'm coming from. Their argument is that MLK was a radical, that MLK would have embraced DEI and CRT. Just let me kind of finish here, right? And they said that conservatives whitewash it to try to say that MLK believed in colorblindness, when in reality, MLK would have been in the streets with BLM. And I listened to this, and it wasn't the only thing, but I said, boy, is that really how, you know, radical left-wing academics think? So there's this fight over MLK in some way.
Sure.
What is the truth? I don't care about their opinion. I just wanted to know, you don't know that backstory.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. It's funny, by the way, I have to tell you. That's really funny. Because let's think about BLM for just a moment here. Black Lives Matter. Let me see. King believed that all lives matter. King didn't believe in infanticide. He spoke about it in St. Louis, Missouri. He said, and I quote, one of the issues within the Negro community is to make sure that we get rid of this idea. He's talking about abortion. He says, for if you cannot see the value of who you are, that doesn't sound like a BLM thing to me. King believed in what I call and what all of us should understand as heterosexual normity. He pushed the ideal of male and female. Not once was he ever quoted anything he's ever written, any speech ever given. I listened to them all. He's never once pushed genderism. He pushed equality as related between the black and white race, because that was the issue at his time. So again, for these revisionists to be able to say, well, he would have been out in the streets marching. You mean the same marches that burned down part of America?
And yeah, that was their contention. Sorry to interrupt. Their contention was that MLK would shut down highways or tell people to. And again, I'm not saying I believe this. They made him seem as if he was he would have been in the streets during the Floyd stuff.
Really? And let me see. I don't have any history of King supporting Floyd. Let's look at Floyd's life.
Well,
the Floyd type.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Here's a drug addict, a fentanyl user, a man who took a gun and put it on a pregnant woman's stomach, a man who had just ripped off and robbed. King was not violent. As a matter of fact, if I could write history, I would have made him a little more violent. But that's my opinion. King didn't believe in any of that. Now, we can all sit, we as in a collective people, and say, well, he probably would have done this. The best way to ever answer questions of that magnitude is to find out what a person has already done. To add to it, it's just that. You're adding.
It's just speculation.
That's all it is. So you're talking conjecture. You're talking about something. Well, he may have done this. Well, he may have flew if he had wings. I don't know. But we know for a fact he walked. Why? Because we don't have any record of him ever flying. So again, the logic doesn't exist. So when they say that, Marxist liberals in these universities, they need King to be made in their image because it pushes their ideology.
I find that persuasive.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Charlie Kirk here. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they are the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this program, which is why I'm so proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. So keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use offer code Charlie. Join me and make the switch today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Join me and make the switch today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie and free activation using offer code Charlie.
So there's so many other elements I want to talk about here, Bishop, but I want to just repeat the question. What else do you think our audience needs to hear that you think I might have missed in all the coverage of
this?
Let's talk it. And just be as...
Sure. Yeah, let's
lay it all out.
Yeah, let's have a real moment here. I remember your feelings about some of the FBI files.
This is the best argument. Yeah.
And I said to you, I said, and I'm paraphrasing what I said.
Please, yeah.
So correct me if I don't stay on course here. I think I'm pretty good at it. I remember saying, Charlie, if you use, Charlie, the FBI files about King, I said, Charlie, you're talking about the same FBI, like Ray right now, who goes in and feels it necessary to target conservatives, to make sure people don't do mass, and those that believe in Latin mass, we're going to watch them too. We're talking about a guy, the FBI, that covers up things like, the Steele dossier. So how far do we want to go? I said, Charlie, you can't use the FBI for any type of argument because we have a history of guys like Hoover that, are we serious? Are we going to really use? So my thing is, let's go to those that knew him. I'm sure there's enough evidence out there to say in King's life, he had challenges, but let's stay with the FBI portion of it. I'm sorry, Charlie. I believe the FBI should be dismantled as we know it. This is why I got to give Trump a plug here.
This is the best argument.
Yeah, because you can make, yeah. Look at what they're doing right now. We got guys in jail. Well, we know for fact now that the January 6th was a hoax. It was a cover up. Again, stay with the FBI. We know that there were over 200 FBI agents, Charlie, on the ground. Why didn't you and I hear it? So let me conclude. Why in the world would I listen to an FBI that's not being authentic? They're not honest. So why would I believe them to be honest about a man that was changing a system called Martin Luther King? I'm sorry, I don't buy the FBI.
Yeah, and so just everyone is clear, because there's two buckets that I want to just unpack here. There was Martin Luther King being unfaithful and committing adultery, which you believe he did repent for. And I want to talk about that. Then there's the much more serious accusations via the FBI files that said that MLK laughed while a woman was raped. You then say, hey, I sympathize with this.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to dismiss that.
Good.
Because I don't believe the FBI. I think that they're a wretched organization.
No, tell me, Charlie. No, it's not true.
I have to be intellectually honest.
Yes.
I can't say that the FBI that spied on Trump and spies on Catholic mass and does.
Yeah.
You know, but can you just talk about those two different?
Let's take the latter first. I don't believe in a organization that has selective justification for penalizing people. If we're going to be fair, then let the laws be applicable to all people. So I don't believe that if the FBI currently is doing what they're doing, and we have a body of evidence, this is not me being some tinfoil hat guy saying, I just believe they're all crooked. No, I know personally FBI agents that love this nation. I know them. I've eaten with them. I'm not speaking of the rank and file. I'm speaking of guys that are at the top that are as crooked as a snake. And we know it not because it's my opinion. We know it because we have a body of evidence that says that they're crooked. So would I believe that, he stood back and he looked at a woman being raped? I'm sorry. Show us the evidence. Show us the video. Because remember, during King's time, they do have video. They do have evidence.
Yeah, I think it was a wiretap. And the only argument that I entertain is that this is before the FBI did their kind of like PR leaks.
Yeah.
And so the question is, who were they lying to?
Well,
were they exaggerating?
If we looked at it historically, because again, I'm a numbers guy, why wouldn't they lie? If King is getting this type of momentum and here's a greater argument. That's to say then that every FBI head was so pro-America that they believed in a free and equal America. Well, come on. So let's assume that at the FBI hit, there were some racists that were there. Then why wouldn't they leak something like that? Why wouldn't they make something? How do you destroy a man? Let's take a Marxist position. You accuse that man. I'm speaking of Marx right now, let's accuse them of the very thing that we're doing.
Yeah, you ridicule them.
So why wouldn't the FBI do it? Now, as it relates to any infidelity, some of King's contemporaries did speak about that, but they spoke of his repentance.
Okay, so yeah, I didn't know this. So tell me about it.
So King reconciled those indifferences with pastors. There's the key word. And more importantly, his wife, his family. So they want to paint him as this serial adulterer, but there's no evidence to it. These are just things that people said. And again, if we use that as the metric, and I said this to you, then what in the world do we do with David? Do we dismiss him?
Or Samson?
Yeah. I mean, keep going. I mean, we can kind of cover 66 books and we're going to find quite a few individuals that God himself used to do it. That's not to justify bad behavior, whether it's adultery or overeating. I mean, because that's lasciviousness and God frowns on that as well. I'm not comparing the two, but last time I checked, all unrighteousness is sin.
Yeah.
And if God is able to forgive one, can he not forgive the other? I don't choose to amplify the frailties of an individual, because if we use that as a metric, we're going to all have a personal problem. It doesn't mean that all of us, every single one of us, should not strive to be better and be better individuals and better Christians, if that's what you are. But if we stopped simply because we, at some point, we failed somewhere, then my God, poor Peter took his sword and took a man's ear off. Well, let's count him off, because after all, he's too violent of a fella. I mean, you know, Thomas, I'm not going to keep following Christ. I doubt
he
even
doubts it. Too much.
I doubt it. Then we got to get rid of him.
So, Bishop, before we move on to just a small part on Trump and your book,
yeah,
is there anything else that you want me to hear or that you want the audience to hear? Because we had this great conversation, and the way you handled it more than even what you said is what I really appreciated. And just wanted to kind of give the opportunity here. Anything else on this?
I think people should know this, and I'm not saying this in defense of you, but I believe this. When I hear those on the right, and I don't believe they're truly right, but let's use that as an argument. Charlie's a racist. I think it's crazy, because I've not heard you say or do anything. I heard you take a argument or things that were said. Now, I think in retrospect, and you did say this to me, you know, Bishop, yeah, I probably should have not gone that far with this. It wasn't you groveling. It's like looking at it in a perspective. Hey, I never thought about it from this angle. Didn't mean that what you said or believed didn't have some form of accuracy attached to it. So I needed that to be a starting point, because anything else is a lie. So when I hear some on the right and some on the left and some who say they're on the right, and well, he's a racist for even bringing it up. Well, that's crazy. We can't have a dialogue. We can't talk. That's absurd.
I guess you can't challenge any historical figures or ask questions.
No, I do believe that King was a champion. I believe there is a sense of sainthood about him, in the sense, because he was God's man. He was a man that God selected at a time. It was Paul, the great thinker and lawyer there in Rome, talking about things of this magnitude, how God is the one who raises up principalities and powers, and God is the one. And I'm quoting Paul, even out of Romans 13. Paul is the one who just so eloquently said that God is the one who sets these individuals of authority in place, or allows them, a better translation, to be in place. So I think all of us would have followed King, because again, if we're honest, we couldn't have followed some that were in the evangelical white world, because we don't know their names, except we do have them on record for not being equal and fair to their black congregation. We do see them saying, no, you can come here, but you can't serve in any capacity. So we got to be fair to the time. We got to look at it in perspective, and we got to say, wait a minute. After we review this, you know what? Let me make sure that people will understand that I see things a little different. And Charlie, when you even said that to me, I'm glad, Bishop, we've had this conversation.
Yeah, we had this long historical-based conversation.
Yeah.
And to be clear, the movement of ending racial segregation is a moral and righteous one. That movement.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it still is to this day.
Yeah. No one should be. And that's why we're against DEI and we're against all which in some ways is a sinister backwards repurposing of the same unclean spirit.
Well, it is unclean because again, what you're doing, if you buy into the CRT movement, if you buy into the DEI, you're actually pushing an agenda that black people in particular, they're too dumb to go out and get an ID, even though, by the way, the majority of them already have it. But if you listen to the race baiters, if you listen to the Al Sharptons,
disgusting. And they call me these awful things, and they're the ones saying black people can't get IDs.
How insulting that is? See, this is where I look at the Joy Reads, and I consider all these people just crazies. They're pure crazies because they're pushing an agenda to keep themselves relevant. That's all it is. Go back and read the writings of Booker T. Washington and these guys. Look at what they said. They said these individuals have an agenda. He said it's to make them relevant and to keep their pockets lucrative. And this is what they're doing. I was on a radio show, Charlie, addressing this very issue in Chicago, the great WVON. I know I'll get hit for this, but the majority of the audience agreed with it, even though the host of the show was just livid. But she couldn't out debate me. I said to her when she brought up the issue of ID, I said, who can't get it? She said, well, what about the poor people? I said, you mean like the ones that get federal assistance? Yeah. I said, well, you just captured my argument. What do you mean? I said, in order to receive any federal entitlement, you have to have an ID. How do you get an apartment? How do you cash your federal check? You have to have.
That's exactly right.
And I mean, this is not even difficult.
So just so we're clear, and I want to just be, Merrick Garland has come out in the last week.
Yeah.
And he has, and this is one of the reasons why I criticized the outgrowth.
Yes.
Of the Voting Rights Act, Civil Rights Act, not the essence.
Right.
The outgrowth.
Right.
Is he says, we're going to use the Civil Rights Act we're going to use the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ to go after states that enforce voter ID.
But hold it, Charlie, I think you're missing a bigger point. Charlie, tell the audience, where was he when he said that?
I don't know.
And this is the part they leave out. He was addressing a black audience in a black church. I can't make this stuff up. It's so crazy.
It's just, you guys are so stupid.
Can you imagine? I can't imagine this guy coming to where I'm the senior pastor. First of all, I would invite him if he wanted to come, but I would take the mic after he comes.
Just keep voting for us Democrats, guys.
I mean, he goes to a black church, almost like Fanny.
See, I didn't know that.
I did. He goes to a black audience and said, we're going to make sure, again, every 4 years, can I quote again El Malik El Shabazz, better known as Malcolm X? I'm quoting him. He says, every 4 years, white liberals will always come to the black communities asking them for votes, only to never do what they say they're going to do. Black people, for God's sake, wake up. They're using you. You're a pawn. You are a victim because you allow yourself to be victimized. He goes into a black church, black leaders sitting there, and we're going to make sure because your votes are being suppressed. Garland, you mean like the historical turnout of black people that voted just a few years ago in Georgia? You mean that they're suppressed? Statistically, they outvoted whites as a group. So show me, Charlie, where's the equity there? Where's the inequality there? Show me where the black people in Georgia was suppressed. You can't. You know why? It doesn't exist. Every black person, and I want to go further. Every white person should be insulted. If you have a black friend that you are voting for a group of people that insults all of your black friends because your white liberals are telling you your black friends are so stupid. They don't know how to get an ID. But it's not just that, Charlie. Even when the states have said, we'll give free ID, the same black leaders, Sharpton, Jackson, the Joy Reads, well, how are they going to get down there to get it? So what are they now saying? They're invalids? They don't have the ability to walk.
Effectively, they are saying that.
That's where we are in this nation. And every 4 years, you have the same problem. That's a problem.
The world is in flames and Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster. But it can't and won't ruin my day. Why? Because I start my day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. It's 100% America and 0% grift. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, you got to check out right now blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie or use coupon code Charlie for 20% off your first order. That is blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Be awake, not woke. That's blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Check it out. Promo code Charlie.
So to continue on this, and I think the MLK thing's great. I think we're solid on that. I want to give an opportunity for you to talk about your book and also President Trump. So your book is really amazing. I think it's eight
questions about race.
Talk about your book.
So it was number two on Amazon when we put it out. Wow. I hope everyone grabs it. Number two. I didn't try to do it. I just addressed some very basic questions about race. I challenged the viewers, check it out. And what we did in a nutshell was just take some basic questions and said, let's look at these racial components. And in that small little book, we hit number two.
Wow.
It was just that. And I sometimes you put out things just to kind of help people out. It's just going to
have it up right there.
Give up. Excellent. I want everyone to get it. Not for my sake. Get it for your sake. Get it that you can pass it along. Get the information. Now, I will say this. I have to give full disclosure. The guys that helped me put together the book, I have one problem with the book myself.
Is it the title?
It's the title. I have a Jewish mom, and we don't do the race crap. And they said, well, as a black pastor, I said, wait a minute, I can't deny my Jewishness either. But they felt, well, this is going to really be effective. And it was one of the biggest tormenting things that I've ever addressed. A lot of my friends that are Jews to this day, they still struggle with that portion. They still bought the book. Thank you, guys, girls, for doing so. If I had a chance again, I would have insisted we're not going to do the black thing because I don't see myself as just a black person because that then denies my Jewish heritage as well. I don't like it. I hate it. Okay, I'll move beyond that. Buy the book. Help us because all of the proceeds we take and we use it to inform the community, not just black community. I'm talking about America's community. So the book was overwhelming. Go out to Amazon or go out to aubreyshines.com. We'll get it to you.
Name one of the two of the questions.
So one of the questions in a nutshell, and I want to paraphrase this because I kind of like this one. Why do you allow someone else to dictate to you how you should think? And I got that from the angle of looking at history. Again, if we're going to talk about race, let's talk about it. Who and what group really opposed blacks from doing well? Let's intellectually have that conversation.
Southern Democrats, yeah.
Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Why was the GOP formed? It was formed
to rip in Wisconsin as an anti-slavery party.
Absolutely. Who started the Jim Crow laws?
The Democrats in the South, yeah.
What about the lynchings? Who were they?
The Ku Klux Klan, Southern Democrats.
Yeah. So we address all of that. When it was time even for the 64 bill to be signed, the Civil Rights Bill.
It was filibustered by the Southern Democrats, yeah.
Wow. The longest filibuster, by the way, in history still to this day.
25, 26 hours or something, yeah.
20-some hours of filibustering. Yeah. Why didn't they want it? So these are things that we dive into in a very quick way. And it's more of an information piece. So people's reading go, whoa, wait a minute. And by the way, we sent, I don't know, 1,000 of those things out at one point to some pretty major groups. And these were leaders, black, white leaders. And they said, we didn't know this information. And they found it so informative that obviously they began to have their congregation and various people begin to buy. So it hit number two. And I was like, whoa, we're at number two. So, hey, help us revise the book. Maybe there's a group out there that want to buy 10,000 copies. Buy it. Put them out. I did share this with you, but someone in your organization, Turning Point, buy 10,000 copies, hand them out free to every guy, girl that comes through your door. Let it be part of their learning experience. And then they'll see America from a Christian worldview. And you'll realize that the race question continues to be alive simply because there are groups that need it to be alive in order to be profitable. That's the essence of that book, Charlie.
I love it. So I now want to talk about our mutual friend, Donald Trump.
Yeah. Interesting, Charlie.
Where to start?
Okay. This is going to be a lot of fun here. So I got to give your audience the background because you said it earlier, by the way. And I got a few buddies. Maybe I should name their names right now. They love the both you and I. And he once said to me, why do you always push this part of the story? This is how Trump came into my world. And I have to be candid. Trump was not on my radar. I was and loved the Constitution. And I was looking at that time to really support Ted Cruz. There was a group of very wealthy people that brought a group of us out to Texas. And we were there to support Cruz. And I was going to do it. Well, it was almost time to do some videos with Cruz. And I really felt inspired by God at that moment. I didn't know why. It was almost like I didn't call you, Aubrey, to do this right here. It had nothing to do with Ted. And I went to the door while everybody else was still kind of fellowshipping there in Texas. And I actually had the valet to get my car. I left and I got in my car and I really felt it was like the Lord dealing with my heart. I'm going to raise up Cyrus. And I knew exactly, Charlie, what that was. That meant Donald Trump. And I thought, Donald Trump. Now I was an anti-Donald. I didn't really know a ton about him other than the great things he had done as far as building business. I love those kind of things. I love entrepreneurship. I knew some of the backstories of how Donald had helped so many
people,
black people, especially with loans. A lot of your audience may not know this. He helped start so many black businesses by giving those black leaders loans. Oh, absolutely. And when they would go to pay him back, he would tear up the check. Now, you never hear that on MSNBC because if he's a racist, he's the most horrible racist I've ever seen. I mean, he's helping start black businesses. Give him a loan. Give him the condition. They meet the condition. They go to give Donald the check back and he goes, you got everything you need? Then he tears up the check. That's Donald Trump. I then go on radio and I begin to talk about my support because I was always in demand doing secular shows, dealing with issues of this magnitude. And a guy out of Colorado asked, who are you going to support, Bishop? I said, Donald Trump is going to be the next president. They mocked me. They laughed, et cetera. Fast forward, I produced a video. And in that video that went viral, I end up finding myself on Sinclair Network. We did 60 plus million views.
Wow.
Donald Trump's team, through a friend of mine, found out about the video. And he called me. He's still a friend to this day. He says, I want to meet with you. And this is prior to me meeting Trump. He questioned me about the video. He had his own research team to begin to. It was only a 6-minute video. I wrote the video. I produced the video. And I the backstory there, Charlie, I'd only did it to have ecumenical leaders to look to say, hey, here's why we cannot support Hillary Clinton. That was the video.
Who's basically Jezebel.
Yeah. Exactly. That's not even a question. And by the way, here's what our party stands for. 100%. And you cannot have your black and or white congregation to support because this is not a biblical worldview here. And it was never intended to do what it did. Fast forward. My buddy got a hold of it. He met with me. He wasn't a buddy then. We met. He says, I want to introduce you to some people. Well, by that time, Trump's team, unbeknownst to me, by the way, saw the video. And they said, we want to meet Bishop Aubrey Shines. I went to a rally where Trump was, had not met him yet. And I'll never forget this. And maybe I shouldn't use one of the guy's names. I'm not sure where he is right now, but he was working for Trump, and to my knowledge, maybe he still does. I don't know, but I don't want to go that far. He looks at me with my friend standing there. He looks over what we're about to do in the nation. I had gathered together a group of black and brown and white leaders. We were going to go and have a full-page ad in the New York Times where we're going to say, this is why we stand with Donald Trump and we oppose Hillary Clinton. Well, at that point, Trump, there had come out some things about some of his bad behavior like 7,000 years prior. And so it was scrapped. But my friend insisted, Charlie, that I meet Trump. I go to the rally. One of the directing managers looks at my piece and he says, out of nowhere, and this is so powerful, he says, Bishop, can we have you to go up and just speak real quick? This was a massive rally, 30 plus thousand people in attendance. Wow. And I said this to him, Charlie, I said, look, I'm a preacher. I need, how much time do I have? You better say something because we can go forever and ever.
That's right.
He said, take 5 minutes. Pam Bondi, I think, had just gotten up. She had spoken. They put me on after. Unbeknownst to me, Trump had arrived. I didn't know it. I was only there to meet him. I'm speaking, and that video is out there, by the way. And the crowd is really responding. So Trump says to my friend, and I can't use the language. I did find out exactly what he said. Some expletives were in it. He said, this guy is a freaking rock star. Who is this? And my friend said, that's my friend. That moment, Trump says,
started a lot.
Yeah, it started. He says, can I meet him? I met Trump. His team asked, would I travel with him? And at that point, state to state to state, several states.
Amazing.
I traveled for him with him and spoke in the auditoriums.
2 minutes remaining. Yep. What does Trump have to do better with the black vote?
Talk the way he's always talked. When he asked a question, what good has it done for you
to do
70 plus years of doing it? Bringing guys like myself, I have to say this publicly, I'm probably, if the right scenario happens, I'll work with him again. And we're pretty close to perhaps having that agreement. If so, I can bring in just a ton of black, brown, and white leaders that will stand with Donald Trump. He's going to need it. I don't think he has to do anything. I think, again, his record speaks for itself. Look at what he's already done. I'm not interested in his rhetoric, what he'll do. I look at what Donald Trump has done, not just in the historically black colleges and universities, not just because blacks had the lowest unemployment ever recorded in history, not just because of all of the great money zones that he produced to help businesses. I look at his policies against the CCP, how they impact all Americans, not just black Americans, his issues on making sure we have rights as it relates to we're not being shut down because we have a religious view. I don't have to ask Trump what will he say and do different. He already has a body of work, Charlie. I think it speaks for itself.
Aubrey Shines, any final thoughts here as we wrap up?
Hey, we got to keep doing it. We got a long battle ahead of us, Charlie.
You're welcome back anytime.
Hey,
and I want to thank you for how you approached this and what you taught me and what I've learned is I'm grateful, truly. And you're now a new but a good friend.
I'm looking forward to the building of that relationship.
Amen. Well, Bishop, thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure, Charlie.
God bless, guys. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com and follow Bishop Aubrey Shines on social media and check out his book.
Thanks
so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.